Good morning. Just to sort of introduce myself, my name is Josh Shai. I'm the youth and young arts pastor here. I also have a responsibility looking after the interns who did a brilliant job this weekend with me, sort of looking after the kids. And I have to say, I want to give testimony to a miracle, is the young people slept pretty well. I tell you what, the Lord works. He's still working. I will just give you a warning that if you do walk into certain parts of the building, it will be a little bit of a mix of deodorant and sort of like BO, sort of like combination. So maybe just stay clear of any rooms like that. But we had a great time. And I just really want to share with you that God is doing something in the youth of this church. That He's really, really moving in a significant way. And I want to give you a testimony of that and honour the role of some of you, but particularly Jo McMillan has been praying. Every couple of weeks, Jo will send me a text, or every now and then, she'll send me a text and say, Josh, what can I be praying for the youth for? And I'll say, oh, maybe this or maybe that. And she sent me a text a couple of weeks ago saying, oh, Josh, I'm just walking around Westex, you know, because she's a real prayer of St. Thomas, and walking around Westex, the high school, local high school. And she said, what can I pray for? And I said, will you pray for us to have opportunities to be able to go into the school, a bit more sort of like doorways into the RE department particularly. We're doing after school club, we're doing lunch club, and they're really good, but to be able to get into the RE department a little bit more. Anyway, so she said, yep, no worries. 2 days later, get an email via the school saying, listen, we want you to come in, bring a team and run assemblies in the run-up to Easter about what Easter's all about. Listen, God opens doors. It's really important that we pray. We pray for all people. I was at a youth event just a couple of weeks ago, and a youth was on the panel, and she was like rallying like the other youths to say, hey guys, come on, listen, we need to know, we're the next generation of the church. And a youth leader grabbed the mic and said, no, you're the now generation of the church. Let me tell you that regardless of your age in this room, you are the now generation of the church. We need to know that we are today's church. Okay, and we should pray for one another. Old should pray for young. Young should pray for old. If you're in between, pray for everybody. But we need to pray. Prayer is really powerful. And the series we're in is all about prayer. And Pastor Aaron came last week and he shared about prayer and how prayer softens the soil of our hearts to be able to allow God to have stuff grow within us. And I want to take that on a little bit. And share a word with you that I feel that God gave me sort of like, it's been spinning around this year, and it's really based around this word reverence and this idea of a reverent prayer or a reverent prayer. You know what? Reverence is all about understanding the importance of something or someone. And I believe that God is drawing us into a greater level of understanding of how significant and how important He is, how majestic He is, how good He is. And I think sometimes what happens is we take ourselves so seriously and we don't take God seriously enough. And I think maybe we should think about taking ourselves a little bit less seriously and taking God much more seriously. It's time we got serious. I believe this is a year we take God serious. It's time to stop playing games, church games, and just come in and, like, genuinely we want to get on our knees and we want to be seeing God move. We want to see signs and wonders. We want to see people set free from the things that are binding them up. We want to see people saved. Somebody give me an amen. Come on. Psalm 111 verse 10 says, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What we know about God is imperative to shaping our knowledge of everything else. If we believe Psalm 111, then we understand that reverence always precedes revelation. It's the starting place of revelation, reverence. Where we come before God and say, God, you are amazing. I don't need to tell you that we live in a time now where we need to access that wisdom. It's a complex time with complex situations. Many people following many gods, small g. Many people praying many prayers, small p. And I believe that we must, as the church, understand the God that we pray to and the power of our prayers. I just feel so many times I've prayed, too many times I've prayed to a ceiling and I've not prayed to a heavenly throne room. You know what, you ever feel that feeling when you pray and you just feel like, and it bounces back to you? And sometimes it's because my God is too small. I've missed where He is. He is seated in heavenly places. The high King of heaven. That's who we pray to. And so often we pray out of our lack without accessing His plenty, We pray as if he has lack, and he has no lack. And if we began to know the access that prayer gives us, I really think we'd pray so much more powerfully, so much more effectively. And again and again and again, in my quiet times with the Lord this year, I've just felt him draw me into adoration. Just beginning to call out who he is. And as I've spoken of his character and his names that the Bible gives us, I've began to understand something for me about the access that I have to that God. As I begin to remind myself that he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Creator of all things. He's the Holy, Holy, Holy One, the Completely Holy One. He's the Author of Salvation, the Rock of Ages, the Light of the World, the Cornerstone, the Great Physician, the Good Shepherd. I could go on and on and on. There's some on the back there. But as I remind myself, something stirs in my spirit to go, yes, yes, that's the God who I follow. And reverent prayer is powerful because it recognizes the power that we have access to. You know what the difference between a wish and a prayer is? It's where it's aimed. A wish is a vague thing thrown into the abyss. But a prayer, it's a powerful thing placed in the hands of an almighty God. And I think sometimes we say we're praying, but we're wishing. And I think God wants to draw us into prayer. Like a real understanding of who he is. Jesus, when his disciples come to him and they see Jesus praying, going off times, and he's off and he's praying. And they said, Lord, will you teach us to pray? This is what he teaches. He starts with our Father who is in heaven. He gives us a title and he gives us an address. Sometimes we pray to smallggod@mail.com. And we hope it gets somewhere. Starts off. Jesus teaches us, our Father, who is in heaven. He's in heaven. Helps us recognize it. That's important. If he's in heaven, he has authority and power. He's not just in heaven, he's the King of heaven. Our Father, it's relational. It speaks to the access that we have as children. We come as children. Hallowed be your name means may your name be kept holy. May your name be set apart. May your name be above all names. You know, I think one of the things that Jesus teaches us here is that we need to balance the relational and the reverent together. It's important that when we pray, we balance relational and reverent. Because reverence without the relationship becomes religious. Reverence without the relationship becomes religious. And relationship without reverence becomes casual. And I don't want to be a prayer who's either religious or casual. And I think sometimes we can fall in that trap. Somebody make me feel better. Does anybody fall in that trap as well, you know? I thought I'd become like a bit too religious about it, and I feel like it's all becomes about the method and not about the man, the person, Jesus. Or it becomes too relational where it's just like casual and I treat Jesus as if he's just like a mate and we forget the authority and the power and the majesty of who Jesus is. And I think that if we want to be effective prayers, people that see God move in power and in wonder, we must start by repositioning both where God is in our prayers and then subsequently where we are and the position that we come before. James 5:16 says, the prayer of a righteous man is effective. The prayer of a righteous man is effective. Why? Because the prayer of the righteous man understands that his righteousness is not achieved in anything that he's done. He's positioned himself in Christ and Christ alone, because only Christ can give us righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That when we come in prayer, positioned in Christ, we have the access to incredible power. Properly positioned people pray powerful prayers. When we get ourselves positioned right before God, we begin to pray in power and with power for the access that we have. I loved Pastor Levy preached a couple of weeks ago, brilliant, talking about sort of obedience and purity. And he was preaching out of Hebrews 5, and he was talking about how Jesus was made obedient through the things that he suffered. That's verse 8. And he read a little bit of the passage before, and I was just struck by verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 5. It says, whilst Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. Look, where it's aimed. That's important. He aimed to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers Why? Because of his deep reverence for God. The word heard in the Greek is like, it's like a deeply heard. Like the meaning is like a deeply listened to, as if God like turns his ear and really hears Jesus' prayer in that moment. The word reverence in the Greek is only used twice in the whole New Testament, both in the book of Hebrews. And it really gives us this idea of a bit of a holy caution to God. It's kind of like illustrated as somebody carrying a really valuable Persian vase across a room. And how we carry it, it's an awareness of the significance of what we are carrying. Do you know in prayer the significance of what you are carrying? I think sometimes it's not always that we have an irreverent view of God. I think sometimes it's that we have an irreverent view of prayer and the power of prayer. We don't understand the significance of the process itself. In Exodus 3, when Moses encounters God at the burning bush, God says to him, take your sandals off. You're standing on holy ground. Well, what is happening in Exodus 3 at the burning bush? It's an encounter between God and man. It's a conversation. It's a prayer. And I think we've got to be aware that when we come to prayer, we stand on holy ground. And we shouldn't come irreverently. We should come seriously. I don't know how many times in my life I've come with praying with my sandals left on, though. You know, prayer with your sandals left on is like it's kind of distant. It's like, oh yeah, God, I see you over there. Yeah, yeah. So I'm quite busy today, so I'm just going to chuck this list at you now so you know, okay? So yeah, can you just do this, 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 and this? All right, cool, bye. Or it's like it comes with all the stuff that we've walked through in the day and all the baggage, and we almost walk through his presence in the place of prayer. We say, yeah, Jesus, so anyway, I'm really busy, but I'll just keep on, just say, can you just do this for me? Yeah, and then thanks, bye. We just move on past. Taking our sandals off takes a moment for me to recognize, say, hey, listen, where am I? Where am I placed? Where's his presence right now? I'm in a holy, this is a holy place. Not a place where I should just, it doesn't mean you can't pray quick prayers. Because Jesus says, don't ramble on when you pray. But I think when we come to prayer, we've got to realize how holy the ground is we're standing on and the value we're carrying. Jesus teaches us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, may your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I always think, why would he teach us that if he didn't believe that prayer was a delivery system from heaven getting to earth? I think we pray so often like that's not the case. Jesus says, pray to the Lord that his kingdom will come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As we pray, we bring something from heaven on earth. Who knows? I want to see more heaven on earth. You need to see more heaven on earth. In your neighborhood needs more heaven on earth. And so what's the delivery system? Your prayers, getting on your knees. And there's a reverence we've got to give to it. I saw this quote from Andrew Murray. He's not to be confused with Andy Murray, the tennis player. This is Andrew Murray. He's the evangelist and revivalist. He said this. He said, we must begin to believe that God, in the mystery of prayer, has entrusted us with a force that can move the heavenly world and can bring its power down to earth. Do you know in praying that you are carrying potential miracles in the making? In prayer, you are carrying government toppling authority as you pray. In prayer, you are carrying breakthroughs in the spiritual realm. In prayer, you are carrying impending salvations when you pray. We have to realize there's something weighty to prayer and we must come reverently. Relational, yes, because we've got access for Jesus, but we must come reverently. And so why don't we see, sometimes if that's true, we're carrying these big weighty things. Sometimes it's just for us in our situations, we've got a healing in our life, we've got a situation that's not ideal, we're carrying this stuff, we're not seeing stuff happen. And Jesus says, so much of the time that is because faith. Again and again and again, Jesus talks about this thing called faith. Matthew 21:22, Jesus says, whatever you ask for in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. That is a real challenge to us. Mark 4, disciples are in the boat, the storm gets up. It's like, sort of like they're panicking, running around everywhere. Jesus is asleep, they wake Jesus up, he gets up. He says to the wind and waves, be quiet and still. And he turns to them and he says, why are you afraid? do you still have no faith? They're panicking in the situation. They're rushing here, there, and everywhere. Do you know that sometimes when we panic, we forget the power we have access to? Do you know what they had to do to access the power? Jesus, can you do something? They're like, whoa, flipping neck. We're gonna die. We pray. Sometimes we pray like that. And it's just like, Jesus, the access of power we've got, it's just like, Jesus, will you? You can do something about this. You can shift this. Don't forget the power in the panic. Luke 7, a Roman centurion, has a highly valued slave, the Bible tells us. And this is a good guy. He's got respect for the Jews. He's even built a synagogue, this centurion. He's well respected amongst the Jews. And his servant is near death, very sick. And he sends some messengers to say, Jesus, we come and heal him. And so Jesus is on his way to come back anyway. Then the centurion sends some friends and says, listen, you don't need to come all this way. Don't trouble yourself coming to my house. I'm not worthy. He said, if you just say the word, the healing will happen. He said, I know this because I'm under authority. And I have authority. So when I say to a servant, come, they come. When I say that to a servant, go, they go. Just say, it will happen. Jesus turns to the crowd around me. He says, I've not seen faith like this in all of Israel. And the important bit, and the officer's friends went home, and the slave was healed. He understood the authority of who Jesus was, and he understood the character of God enough to say, actually, I believe that he wants to heal my servant. I think faith so often in our life is just confidence in the character of God. It takes sometimes time for us to hold firmly to it. A reverent prayer is a faith-filled prayer because it understands the character and the nature of God. When I was a child, I had a bad dream. This is what I'd do. I wouldn't move. I'd lie in my bed. I'd say, Mom! 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 I never moved. Why? I knew I didn't need to. Because I knew my mum would come when she heard me. Because I knew enough about the character of my mum, so when she heard me calling her, when I'd had a bad dream, or I couldn't sleep, she would come. And we would pray, and I would sleep. Because I knew her character. And when we come to God, it's the same. I know his character. And so I pray in a way that's not always like, but I just stay where I am. Say, Lord, listen. I know that you want to hear me. I know you love me. I know the access I have through Jesus, that I've been actually raised into heavenly places. That's where he is, so I've been raised close to where he is. Lord, will you do something about this situation? And I've got confidence you will. Amen. And you go to sleep, or whatever it is the answer is sometimes to the prayer. Reverent prayer is all about praying prayers confident in who God is and who God's called us to be. Sometimes it would take a while for my mum to come when I called her. But I knew if I kept calling, she would come. Sometimes in our prayers, it takes a while. Sometimes we're knocking. It takes a while. Jesus tells this story in Luke 11. Parable. He says, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I've got no food for him. It's a big deal in the culture at the time, hospitality. And suppose the one inside says, don't bother me. The door's already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything anyway. Give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, Jesus says to us, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of the fathers, if your son asks for a fish, gives him a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, gives him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give you Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What I love, you know what really struck out? This is the NIV translation. I love that just phrase there. Because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. We need to be a bit more shamelessly audacious. I know he's coming through for me. And I'm going to knock until he comes. Because he hears me and he will come. Sometimes it takes time. But I'll keep knocking. If the friend in the house had no bread, it wouldn't have mattered how many times the person had knocked on the door, they wouldn't have received anything. But he did. And God has access to everything. Okay? So when we pray, we know we're praying to a God who's got access. He's not. We don't pray in our lack, we pray in his surplus. So he's got more than enough for us. But we pray sometimes like he lacks. The door to our Father, it's not locked like in the story. It's open. Jesus made it open. We can come through now. The Lord's Prayer. Jesus teaches us again. Give us today. Maybe John could jump up. Give us today our daily bread. It's really important that. That prayer, Jesus models prayer, teaches prayer to be, give us today. He doesn't say give us tomorrow, the next day, and the next day, the next day, the daily bread. Give us today the daily bread. Why? Because he wants us to pray every day. He wants us to be in communion with him every day. He wants us to be dependent on him every day. And this is what happens, yeah? Because when I pray for today, for Lord, give me my daily bread today. Tomorrow, I wake up with a, and he gives it to me, I wake up with a greater confidence in the character of God. And I pray tomorrow more confidently, more faith-filled than I did today. Because I'm like, God, you came through for me yesterday. I know you're going to come through for me today. You know what I felt as we come to finish? That for some of us, it's time to reposition who God is in our lives. Some of us have been praying to a God who's distant, who's angry, who doesn't want to have anything to do with us, who, even if he was there, could he even do anything about it anyway? I don't know. But I feel God's kind of saying, I'm not that God. I'm a God who loves you, a God who made you, who wants a relationship with you. I'm a God who's all-powerful, all-present. I want to speak to you today. That's what the God says to you. So we have to make sure we're positioned, God's positioned correctly, but also make sure we're positioned correctly too. Are you coming before him reverently? Are you taking your sandals off? Are you recognizing the holy ground that you're standing on when we come to prayer? Are you coming to prayer with a real, Lord, thank you. I recognize this is something of significance, a moment that I've got right now. I believe I've got a potential miracle in my hands. And I'm coming before you right now believing, not that you're going to ignore me, you're going to do something. You're going to shift the situation. I've been struggling with this mental health condition. I believe you can do something about it. I've got this sickness in the family. You can do something about it, Lord. I've got this uncertainty in a workplace. You can do something about it. And we need to come, that reverence of like, Lord, yeah, I'm placing it before a Father. It's not about wishing. It's not about throwing a coin into a well and hoping it gets better. We pray to a God in heaven who can shift and change things. But I feel that sometimes he just asks us, how much faith have you got? Will you bring it? And are you willing to take your sandals off? Here's what I want to do as a response. We're going to come to a time of worship in a second. But I feel that I want us to make a visual statement. If this is you and you feel like, actually, you know what? I feel in my life, some of my prayers, some of how I've been coming before God has been maybe irreverent in parts. And I need to say sorry. I want to do a simple thing. We're going to do this. Nobody's going to say, I'm not going to bring you necessarily forward for this. I'm going to worship together. It's just a symbol. Lots of things that we do are symbols, but they represent something much deeper. It represents, I'm coming for you, Lord. I'm recognizing this place right now. I'm standing. It's holy ground. I'm not going to mess around and come to church and just like pretend it's all okay. I'm going to come before you, and I've got some heavy stuff that I need to bring for you, Lord. And I might have to some sin I've got to deal with before I recognize the closeness, because sin separates us. So I might have to say some sorry for some stuff, but I'm coming before you right now and I'm standing on holy ground. I need your presence. So what we're going to do is we're just going to worship. And if that's you, I just want you to pop your shoes off in a second. But also I want to give opportunity that if you're going through a situation and you feel like you want to bring all the faith you've got to it, but you just feel like, oh, this could really do with somebody coming alongside me and praying and adding their faith to mine, adding their confidence in the character of God to me. and my situation that I'm going through. We'll open up just down here. If you want to come, anything that you're going through, you think, actually, you know what? Listen, I could really do with somebody just standing alongside me and praying faith-filled prayers for me. And please, if you come and pray, don't pray prayers of just like, Lord, amen. Like, pray faithful prayers that you believe over that person's situation is going to change, because we believe when you pray with faith, things happen. You know, don't have little faith, Jesus tells us. Have lots. So why don't we stand and we're going to worship together and just position yourself before God. Maybe stop by just putting your hands up before him. I'll pray and we'll worship. Oh Lord, we're so sorry for the times where we've not given you the reverence that you deserve. You are the Almighty God, the ruler of the heaven's armies, King of kings, Lord of lords. You are the author of salvation. You're the good shepherd. You're the Prince of Peace. You're fully kind, fully love, fully joy, fully peace. We come before you now, Lord, in reverence and say, will you come and fill us? We want to have those burning bush encounters where we experience your glory, Lord. If there's sin, we want to say sorry. We want to come before you seriously right now. Help us to recognize that we are standing on holy ground. Help us to bring our requests before you, believing that you can do something about them, that you're going to shift atmospheres, you're going to break through in ways we've never seen before in this next season. As we pray and as we pray reverently, you will move, we believe. In Jesus' name. If you want to come forward for prayer, just feel free to come as we worship.